when man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary.
Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor N.R. Davis of the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. We come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30 on this radio station. I am the pastor of the Abiding Light Pentecostal Church over here on the west side of Manchester. It is a delight and a privilege to come to you, whether you're listening by way of radio in your vehicles today or maybe on the internet live streaming. We count it a privilege and an honor to come and share God's word with you today. If you'd like to find out about our ministry, you can go to our website at theabidinglightchurch.com. We want to get into the teaching and ministering of God's word today, and now we will go into the sanctuary of the Abiding Light. In the book of Revelation chapter 3, we're going to visit the church at Sardis here in verse 1, Revelation 3, 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, and I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, and you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. The church in Sardis was a church that had a reputation. John was writing this letter, and as it was delivered, I imagine, to the pastors, the leadership of this church, Sardis, they had a reputation that was a good reputation, that they were alive, they were active, they were doing much in their community, but yet in the midst of all that they did in their outreach, he says, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, a reputation, that you are alive, you're active, you're doing works. But he says, but you're really dead. What a contrast in the way that people perceive us, but what we really are in the eyes of God. Notice now, reputation speaks of, this is what people say about you. He's speaking to this church in Sardis, and could you imagine when the pastor began to read this, probably excited, got the letter, begins to read it, that you've got a reputation that is a good reputation, you're doing works, you're active, but yet you're dead. That hit me in my spirit so hard and awakened me that it really doesn't matter what man thinks of us. All that matters is what God thinks of us. For men judge on the outward, but it is God that looks upon the heart. God knows our hearts. The Bible describes them as being desperately wicked, and who can know them? What was the problem in this church is they were professing something, but they did not possess it. This is also a wonderful picture of many of the churches in our land today here in the United States of America. They're very active in their communities. They're feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, and doing great works for God. Many are sending out missionaries. Many are giving thousands and thousands of dollars into the foreign fields for the gospel to be spread. And that is all good. We're commanded to do all those things. But hear what Jesus says about Sardis. You have a reputation. You have a name. Your name has been known as one that is alive and active. But we need to realize that the Lord goes beyond our works. For many shall come to him in that day and say, we've done many great works in thy name. We've laid hands on the sick. We've cast out devils. We fed the hungry. We clothed the naked. We did many works. The Bible says he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. A reputation is not enough to get by on. We can fool pastors. We can fool friends. We can fool the family members. We can fool people. But we will not fool God. God knows who we are. I spoke of Jacob just recently about how Jacob wrestled with God at Peniel. The Bible says he literally wrestled with the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ. And during that wrestling match, if you will, he asked him, who are you? What is your name? And if you really get into that, what he was saying is you need to examine yourself. Most of us here have been to doctors before, and it's one thing for a doctor to do an outward examination, but really what determines your health is not altogether the outward. It's what's on the inside of your body. Jesus said there are many that appear righteous on the outward. They wear the proper clothes. They talk the right way. They fast. They pray. They pay their tithes. Give their sacrifices. But he said inwardly. How many of us know that's where the Lord is really looking? And that's what he's really concerned about, is what's on the inside. God is a God that is not moved by works of men. We, as humanity, give high praise. We give credit, whether they be saved or unsaved. There's many people giving multi-millions of dollars, many charitable organizations all throughout the world, the United States of America, where they're doing good works, and I thank God for that, because there's many in our nation and around this world that need people to reach out to them. But brothers and sisters, what we need is the Spirit of God to draw the lost and the dying souls of men. For the Bible says, amen, if no man can come to God unless the Spirit of God draws them. Amen. It's not what we can do in the natural to feed them, to clothe them. Yes, that's what Christ told us to do. But amen, if we don't see them get born again and saved and turn their heart to Christ, what have we really done for them? You read of great missionaries, and you read how they went into the foreign fields and given their lives, many great men. I think of Livingston, and I remember hearing some of the African preachers testify about him, how that he literally would go through the jungles of Africa with malaria. He had to be carried. It was so hard in the natural. But oh, brothers and sisters, Africa has revival in different parts of that continent going on right now, because there's been men that were willing to sacrifice and do what they needed to do to go to a lost and dying nation. Yes, maybe to bring them food, but can I tell you, we can feed them, we can clothe them, we can give them, amen, the things of the natural, but what they need more than anything is they need to turn their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him as their Savior, and that is the only hope for all of humanity. So where there is death, it is because of one thing, and that is sin. He says, you have a reputation that you're living, but I say you're dead, Sardis, you're dead. But he says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. Can I tell you, that's all it takes, is you give me a handful of men and women. One can put 1,000, two can put 10,000, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. Give me just a handful of people that can get in one mind, in one accord, and the people that can be strong in the Lord and come together in the spirit of unity and power to pray. And God can use a very small group of men and women, and He can begin to reach out to others that are dying, that are struggling, that are in despair, that are oppressed by the devil. God is a God that will not forsake those that are dying. He says there are some that are ready to die in verse 2. They're ready to die, but we can't let them die. We are responsible. We have to be responsible. Keep making those phone calls. It's not in vain when we keep crying out to them, keep calling them. They may not answer. They may not even text us back. But amen, we keep praying for our lost loved ones that are dead in their trespasses and their sin. Maybe some of them are backslid. Maybe some of them are far from God. But aren't you glad that the heart of the Lord, we see it in the picture of the prodigal when he was a great way far off. He was dead in his trespasses and sin. But there was a father back home that had a heart of expectation, that was praying for his son, expecting him to come home. And when he finally came home, the Bible says they threw him what a great feast. He says, it's time to rejoice. My son was once lost, but now he's found. He once was dead, but now he's alive. Amen. That is what we can rejoice in, is knowing that Christ is one that does not want to see any perish in their sin, but he wants to see everyone come to a place of repentance where they can receive eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. So those that we're reaching out to that are dead, yes, they can come into church, many of them with a smile. Yes, they can dress like they're a Christian. But can I tell you, we cannot be fooled by what we see on the outward appearance, because many might look good on the outward. They might look alive. They might have a testimony like Sardis saying, amen, you've got a name that says you're alive and you're active, but you are dead. These are those that have fallen into sin. For there is a way that will lead us to destruction, and that way is our own ways, and every man thinks he's right in his own eyes. You talk to folks that are heading in the wrong direction. You talk to people that are backslid and far from God. They'll sit there and deny it. They'll act like they're spiritual. They'll act like everything's okay. But can I tell you, it might look okay on the outward. It might look like they're alive on the outward. But the Lord says, I'm looking on the inside. I'm looking whether or not they have any real life of my spirit going on in the inside. My concern today is that we have a generation of Christians. I seen something that I read last week where somebody said, I'm glad my church attendance has nothing to do with my salvation. Who would say something so foolish like that? No, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. But when you do become a Christian, you have a desire to be in the house of the Lord. Now, there are legitimate reasons for folks not to be able to come. Some can't legitimately make it. But can I tell you, brothers and sisters, we need to pray and strengthen our brethren. How many of us know that's what the Lord Jesus Christ told Peter? He said, Peter, when thou art converted, then you go and strengthen your brother. What is he saying? You've got some weak brothers that are struggling and you need to go to them, but don't go to them until you get what you need. Amen. That's what Peter said when he was coming up into the temple at that hour of prayer and he seen that man begging. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I, what? As I have, I give unto thee. We can't give nobody nothing until we possess something. Listen, you can give them food. You can give them money. You can give them clothes. You can give them a pat on the back. But what we're really going to do to help a man or a woman that is struggling and lost in sin is give them the hope that's in Jesus Christ. The gospel is the only hope for America, and the gospel is the only hope for the church today. We need a revival, amen, to come back to the church that'll awaken and arouse us from the inside out. It's not what we're doing, it's what we possess on the inside that will make a difference. Such as I have, I give unto thee. Rise up and walk. He strengthened that man by a word of faith. He had the power of the Holy Ghost in him. Peter was full of the Spirit of God, and that's what is going to be needed. Those of us that are spiritual, amen. The Bible says if you see a brother taken in a fault, those of you that are spiritual, go and restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering your own self. In other words, we don't kick them when they're down. We don't run them off when they're down and browbeat them with the Bible, but we go to them to try to reach out to them in a spirit of meekness and love and gentleness, and compel them to come in and let them know that Jesus loves you. He can restore you. He can strengthen you. And most of all, he can deliver your life from the sin that has you bound. How many of us know he's a deliverer? Hallelujah. I was listening to a preacher last week. And he was preaching about the gospel. Never gets old hearing about the gospel. I'm talking about the power of the gospel to change men and women's lives. Most of us here were changed dramatically because of the power of the gospel. He brought us out of darkness and into the marvelous light. Aren't you glad for the power that's in the gospel? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of this gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for every man that will believe. Amen. It works when you believe it. We must strengthen our brothers and sisters that remain. Yes, some are drifting. Some aren't coming as much as they should. And I've had to come to the point where I've had to pray and say, Lord, you got to deliver me from this burden. Because I am concerned about their soul. I am concerned that, Lord, have I done all that I can do? I've called them. I reach out to them. But what do you do when folks won't even call you back? What do you do? I've realized there's nothing I'm going to say or nothing I can preach or do that's going to turn them around. It's going to take more than preaching to turn the hearts of this generation back to God. I hate to say it, but it might just take persecution. And can I tell you, I believe the Lord sometimes allows that to happen to his people to wake them up. Those that are on the fence, he'll allow things to be shaken to the point where they're going to fall on one side or the other. And God have mercy that they fall on the side that is right. I want to be on the Lord's side. Can you say amen? I don't want to fall and drift off onto that broad gate, that broad way that leads to destruction, where many are going therein. He says, but there is a straight and a narrow way that leads to life. Can you say amen? And can I tell you, when you get on that path that is narrow and straight, walking with Jesus, as you get a little further along down the road in this Christian walk with him, you'll begin to realize that the path gets narrower and narrower. When it's a narrow way, there'll be a lot less people walking on that path because it's a narrow way. He says there's some things that are about to die. There's people dying spiritually all around us. Oh, they're alive. They're breathing. They're breathing. But there's no spirit in them. The body without the spirit is dead. You tell me the Holy Ghost stays in an unclean temple. Folks say, oh, well, he never leaves you nor forsakes you. You tell David that. You tell Samson that. There's times when the Spirit of the Lord will depart Ichabod. And for us to be so foolish and presumptuous to think that we can fool around with this temple and think that the Holy Ghost is going to stay in an unclean temple. Now, I know we've got a generation of preachers that'll tell you you can live any way you want. As long as you said a prayer one day and confess Christ into your heart and amen and told him I'm a believer. Now we've got the gospel now that just says just believe and you're on the way to heaven. You don't even have to repent now. You just got to believe. Can I tell you that's a damnable gospel that is going to lead the masses to destruction? Amen. Can I tell you there is a gospel that's going across the United States of America and around the world? Paul said in Galatians 1, who has bewitched you, who has deceived you that you would believe, amen, another gospel? He says there is only one gospel. Can you say amen? And that is for all of humanity. I don't care what preacher tells you, you don't have to repent. Amen. This gospel requires us to turn from our sins and turn unto God. And if we are listening to preachers that don't preach it, don't listen to them anymore. I want a preacher that'll tell me like it is. Can you say amen? I want to make it to heaven. Do you make it by works? No. Paul said, lest any man should boast. This isn't earned. But because I have true salvation, I got to fight this good fight of faith. Paul talked about shipwrecking your faith. Paul talked about, amen, backsliders. Backsliders will lose everything. So this is serious. We have got to reach these brothers and sisters in the Lord. Here I've gone out and witnessed a little bit and talked to people locally, handing out a few flyers and talking to them in my travels. And occasionally I'll be out here and I'll get to talking with some of these drug addicts and alcoholics and people. And you mention Jesus to them, boy, and I'll tell you what, folks get to running from you almost. But some of them, maybe one out of 10 to 15, will sit there and tears will start to well up in their eyes. They sense that what you're sharing with them is what they need, but yet they're bound by the powers of sin. Death has started to move in and take hold of them, and the wages of sin is death. But we have to be like Jude said. We need to go into the fires of sin, into the areas, and pluck them out of the fire. How many of us know that's what Christ has called us to do, to go and bring this hope of salvation to all men? It's the only hope. There's no remedy for sin but the blood of Jesus. It's the only thing that can wash away our sins and make us free from the powers of sin and death, and that is the truth of God's word. Hallelujah. This church, Sardis, as I close, was admonished by the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, remember therefore how thou hast received. Notice this now. They have received the word of God and heard it and hold fast to what you've got and what you know is right. And he said, do what? And repent. Now he's talking to his people about repenting. If therefore thou shalt not watch, here's the warning. How many of us know what that word watch means? I'm going to read it here for you out of the Strong's. To keep awake, that is, literally it means be awake, be alert. Another place it speaks of watching as in making reference to praying and staying awake. How many remember the disciples fell asleep on Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? And he says, can't you watch with me? Can't you stay awake? He says, your spirit's willing. Brothers and sisters, that's going to fight us until the day the Lord calls us home is this old flesh. It doesn't want to pray. It doesn't want to fast. It doesn't want to obey God. But let's strengthen our brothers. Let's encourage our brothers and sisters. Let's pray and let's reach out to them and encourage them to turn to the Lord. Amen? We don't want to give up. Strengthen the things that remain that are about to die. I don't want to see anybody die, do you? Especially spiritually. So let's pray. God help us to reach those that are lost and undone. And let's pray that they can be delivered. It's not enough just to get some help. They need to be delivered. That's what true salvation means. Salvation. Saved. Completely set free. How many of us know we can be free from sin? Now, it doesn't mean we're not going to be tempted. Yeah, we're going to be tempted. But Paul said, therefore, now being free from sin. Well, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. We have. That's our testimony. We once were lost. Do we sin? Yes, you'll sin. But we don't stay in sin. There's the difference right there. I believe, and as you go a little further, you can be totally free from sin. That old temptation that always used to snag you and snare you, I believe you can come to a place where one day it can be dangled right in front of your face and you're dead to that sin. There's no temptation there. You can put whatever you want when a man is dead to the world. Hallelujah. And that's what we need to be, is dead. Amen. To that world. As we begin to close this radio broadcast, I want to remind you, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. I am the pastor of the Abiding Light Church over here on the west side of Manchester. My name is Pastor N.R. Davis, and we want to invite any of you that would like to come out and visit us. We're at 417 Granite Street in Manchester, New Hampshire, on the west side. We're a multicultural church preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we would like to invite you to come out and visit us. We start our Sunday services at 11 o'clock. And we also have our Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. And you can go to our website at theabidinglightchurch.com. And until next Saturday at 3 o'clock, this is Pastor N.R. Davis, and may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you.